When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke problem. Propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
If he is reelected, do you hope to serve another term as Secretary of Transportation?
Well, right now I got my head down seeking to deliver on all of the historic opportunities that are in front of us. It's demanding work, but it's rewarding work. I'm very glad to be doing it. And, the future is we'll find out what's next. But right now we got a lot to be proud of and a lot more to do.
That's Secretary Mayor Poot. Buttigieg, and he says that he's got his head down and he's just seeking to deliver. What? I don't know. That seems to kind of be emblematic of the entire administration. Welcome to the program. Top of our first hour. Happy Wednesday to you, your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Loesch here. And where to even start? There's a number of things. I mean, first we have that. I think it would be problematic for them to keep him. But then at the same time, imagine yourself in Joe Biden's position. If you get rid of him and you switch him out, then you're admitting that there was something wrong, right? And then that becomes a story. So it's like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Just saying. So he says he's got his head down. He's seeking to deliver. I mean, this is the guy who thought that there were too many white people in construction. That's just saying. He did. All right. So some of the other, we're going to come back to him. We got all kinds of stuff to hit today as we start this hump day off. By the way, Steve is very, very proud of his show tweet. I don't know if you've seen it. He's very, very proud of the alliteration in his show tweet, and it's the today's Hide Like Hunter Hump Day edition.
I work hard for these alliterations on our show account, by the way. I think hard
every day's Hump Day for Hunter.
I give you A's, dude. I give you A's for this. So it's like, yeah, I'm gonna clap for myself. Oh my gosh. All right, so lay of the land. Let's get a lay of the land here as we look at everything. We're gonna get in the Hunter Biden stuff. We're going to get in that. Can we immediately start? Can I start with the woke, please? Can I start with the woke? I know we got the little drone thing that was happening, too. Real quick, I'll mention that. Russia's claiming that Ukraine tried to kill Vlad. Did you see the video of that?
Yeah.
That looked fruit. That's so stupid. Nobody believes it. That's the dumbest false flag thing I've ever seen in my life. They said that they tried to use a drone. And they tried to, first off, are you telling me that a drone can get near wherever Vladimir Putin is staying in, what is it, the Kremlin? Is that where he was? Are you telling me a drone can get anywhere close to that? Because I don't believe you. I've played Call of Duty Cold War. I know how difficult it is to get the Kremlin. No, for real, though. The video shows, it looks like a drone that somebody would have to record, to look at fireworks for 4th of July. And it looked like it flew into the building and broke. That's what it looked like. And they're like, they tried to kill him. They tried to get him with a drone. No one believes you. I mention it because it was funny and the video was a hoot. And I think that they were trying to claim it. The Ukraine said it wasn't them. I actually believe them. I don't think it was them. I think it was probably the Russians being stupid. I don't know what else to, because it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. First off, how could you even have it get that close to the Kremlin in the first place? It's the, don't they watch everybody? Don't they watch everything? Good heavens. And it showed it flying right into the building. It just was dumb looking. Juan has the on the simulcast. Yeah, one drone, it flew, and then boom. And they said, I guess, that it was near where Vlad Putin was staying or something like that. How did it get that close? Why wouldn't it just, wouldn't they have shot it down forever ago? Right. I thought that they had like a much wider and more in-depth spy system than this. I'm just, you know, who knew? But that was the most obvious thing ever. If you were going to conduct an assassination attempt, seriously, in full, like, you see all the lights there? The cameras pointed at the building. We're going to fly this drone. No, that was the Russians thinking that they could do. I don't know. That's so goofy. That is so goofy. It's not as goofy as what the Navy did. Oh, boy. You want to know why recruitment is down? They said that naval recruitment is falling short by 8,000. Oh, man. Yeah. And so they were trying to figure out how in the world, how are they going to do this? How are they going to fix this issue? And they figured out, because, you know, you keep hearing about all of these influencers that are being hired, whether it's by the administration, et cetera, et cetera. So they have, they decided that they were going to have a digital ambassador. The Navy did. So they hired Yeoman Second Class Joshua Kelly to be a part of their outreach. They said they want more Gen Z sailors. And they turned to this guy who was a drag performer. His stage name is Harpy Daniels. And he performed drag, I guess, on TikTok. Did they really? Oh, my gosh. Guys, what do we know about TikTok and the CCP? And we have our Navy doing digital outreach on TikTok with drag. Did Xi Jinping write this whole thing? Let's see. We're going to further demoralize our armed forces and undermine preparedness. And then we're going to use the CCP completely, you know, compromising app TikTok to do it as the way to distribute the information. So this guy, he gets all up in drag and he announced on TikTok that he's the Navy's first digital ambassador. And he's performing in drag. Because I guess that's how they're going to try to get Gen Z. We're going to get our asses kicked in a war, aren't we? What in the world? And then he's got a sign of him where he says, "Make America free, pro-choice, my body, my choice." Dude, you can't get pregnant. Jiminy Christmas. He said he was inspired by the drag queens on RuPaul's Drag Race. He started watching when he was 16. And so that's apparently what the Navy is doing. Is that going to make anybody really sign up for the Navy? The answer is no. I'm being entirely rhetorical. It's not. Would you say RuPaul is a gateway trans?
What it sounds like.
So he first started performing on ships after a sanctioned morale, welfare, and recreation MWR lip-syncing contest in 2017. He was deployed on the USS Ronald Reagan. And then he became a regular in competitions. He says he's never experienced harassment or anything like that. He said that when he was scheduled to perform at a DEI event at Langley Air Force Base in 2022, he says it caused an uproar to many conservatives and Christian extremists. Yeah, people who were wondering why in the hell the Navy was hosting a drag event. Like, why is that? What is going on? I mean, this is what you do if you want to totally undermine the preparedness of the military, and you're focusing on all of these identity politic things instead of focusing on a united fighting force. This has nothing to do with unity. This has everything to do with how do you troll people who are going to otherwise, you know, criticize the military, and how are you going to drive away people who would otherwise be inclined to maybe enlist. This is insane. Our military has gone entirely woke. They have. And they wonder why they're falling short of recruitment. Why are we falling? We just don't know. We can't figure it out. Let's do more of what's actually driving people away. That was apparently their thought. Let's do more of it. So this individual, I guess, I don't even know what that entails. What is he going to make, like, drag videos about the Navy? Why don't they win wars? So he identifies as non-binary, according to the Daily Caller. Yeah, he's a digital. I mean, if the Navy brought him on, does that mean they're paying him? And, you know, the Navy's money's our money. I'm just wondering, is that, are they paying him? So he's the new digital ambassador. What is this again? What is this? The reason why people are criticizing this is because it has nothing to do with the purpose of the military. You are infusing cultural warfare into the military, which undermines unity and preparedness. Because the issue is that the, I mean, nobody cares who you sleep with, how you identify, etc. No, that's irrelevant when it comes to the fighting force. You have to have the strength of unity in order to complete these objectives. And I just don't see how this fulfills this. And what is this? I mean, it makes us look like a joke. We look like a joke. And we don't look peace through strength, peace through superior firepower. This conveys neither of those things. That's their DEI policy update. The Navy's committed to recruit and retaining soldiers, fostering an inclusive culture. Can you kick butt? That's it. Can you fight? Do you want to fight for your country? Can you fight? Are you willing to pop a commie? Yes, no. These are the only questions worth asking. No one cares what you do in your private time. No one cares how you choose to sleep with people. No one cares if you dress up in women's clothes in your private time. Can you fight? Are you willing to fight? Are you willing to make that sacrifice? Those are the only things that matter. Everything else is a distraction, and it gets people killed. We're sacrificing the safety of service members at the expense of political correctness, DEI, Marxist BS. A bunch of dudes in and woman face in cosplay. So on top of this, and I have this, I think I sent this out in your rundown, your email rundown. Bud Light is trying to make good. They're freaking out right now. I told you that we had some advertising ideas for them that they could do to help remedy this situation. So, but they think giving free beer to every wholesale employee as a way to ask for forgiveness, that's going to help. So they're handing out free beer to try to squash the backlash. I'm telling you, this is what you do. If you're Bud Light, if I was the marketing director, and if you guys steal any of my ideas, I'll come for you. Bud Light. This is how you do it. You have every single like icon. Have like your hardcore dudes, you know, like the old, like what they would say, like your Burt Reynolds looking dudes. Get the 80s pinups. Get your millennials. I read this story today where it said millennials hit middle age, and there was somebody that they quoted as saying that they were 44 years old and they were a millennial. Shut up, you're Gen X. You're not a millennial. They and have like Gen Z and everybody. And quit overcompensating and quit trying to overrepresent a tiny fraction of the populace and shove, you know, this cosplay, especially with someone who treats it like this. That's the thing. Can I make this point too? I was having a conversation with a friend over the weekend, and I was saying, you know, the difference between somebody like Dylan Mulvaney and somebody like Kitty Demure. He was on Jesse Waters' program. Kitty Demure is like, no. And I thought, and he's a dude, he knows he's not forcing people to do their pronouns and all this stuff. But he was saying, do you realize that drag actually is misogynist? Because it started when, you know, women were barred from performing on stage and men dressed up in makeup as women because women were barred from performing. It has a misogynist origin, which, of course, they're not telling anybody that. But Kitty Demure was saying that that, you know, not doing the pronouns and was, you know, criticizing Dylan Mulvaney and criticizing Budweiser and Anheuser-Busch. The difference between somebody like Dylan Mulvaney and Kitty Demure is that Kitty Demure knows that he's a dude. And he's not forcing you to acknowledge anything else. And he's not wanting to criminalize you if you don't affirm his self-perception. Whereas Dylan Mulvaney is making the most ridiculous caricature, a stereotype of a woman. And it is mocking and it is disrespectful. That's the difference.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Is America not number one anymore? Sometimes it takes admitting we have a problem to be able to fix it. Between parental rights over their children or the government paying big tech for your private info, how can we right our wrongs to go back to being the shiny city on the hill? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently, Iran has seized its second oil tanker in a week. U.S. Navy reveals footage of Tehran's vessel surrounding the ship in the Strait of Hormuz. It's a Panama-flagged oil tanker in the Strait. This happened earlier today. It's the second such capture by Tehran in recent days. The first was another Houston-bound tanker. The Navy's Bahrain-based Fifth Fleet identified the vessel as the Niovoi. Can't even say it. It said Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard seized it at 6 a.m. local time. Navy published pictures of these vessels surrounding the tanker. They forced it to reverse course and head towards Iranian territorial waters. According to the Navy, they said that's contrary to international law. Second time they've done it. You see all these other, I mean, that is, man, that's dangerous. It's the shipping registry show the ship is being managed out of Greece, and they haven't commented on it. But this ship had been traveling from Dubai to UAE's port, and it was forced to change course. So and all on camera. I mean, there's no denying it. 25 counties with the longest life expectancy revealed. Apparently, a fishing community in Alaska is where people live 25 years longer than the average American. That's interesting. It's in the Aleutians. Isn't that interesting? That's the little chain up there in Alaska. They said that's where they live the longest. Scientists, I did not even know this. Mount Everest makes terrifying noises at night. Did you know this? It does. The rapid temperature drops at night cause ice to contract and crack deep within. And they apparently, all these researchers spent weeks measuring vibrations in the glaciers. But people say that there's a chorus of these splintering noises, and it sounds terrifying. And they figured out that this is exactly what is causing it. That's creepy, though. You've heard me talk about my friends at Kel-Tec for years, and it's because I really believe in them as a company and as innovators. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond, like with the Kel-Tec P50, a revolutionary award-winning pistol that packs a punch in a compact package. The Kel-Tec P50 is perfect for home defense, for range shooting, or just even having some fun. And with its top-mounted Picatinny rail, you can easily attach your favorite optics or accessories to make it truly yours. Whether you are a seasoned shooter or you're just starting out, the Kel-Tec P50 is the perfect pistol for anyone looking for power and precision in a compact and easy-to-use package. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond. Learn more about the P50 pistol at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Chris, I think there's a difference between catching somebody in a criminal act and catching them in a politically problematic act. I mean, as I read that transcript, this was a 2020 interview, and they're asking current Secretary Blinken about events that occurred in 2015. Now, as you said, he clearly says no. They ask him whether or not he had any conversations. He says, not that I recall. And then they move and they say, how about emails or texts? And he says flat out no. Now, whether, you know, clearly, and they say they found information off of Hunter Biden's laptop that clearly shows correspondence back and forth between now Secretary Blinken and Hunter Biden. If that's accurate, that's still a long way from being a violation of the law.
My favorite thing about this whole video, first off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you is, oh, my gosh, I totally spaced on his name.
Chris Cuomo?
No, the other dude on there.
Carville.
James Carville. Who I used to, when I was the token conservative at CNN, he was on with me all the time. He was actually very nice. And he hated some of the same people I hated, which made us friends. He will not wear LSU gear. He will fight like the vice president of standards and practices over it. It is so funny that he was all decked out in his gear. He just doesn't even care. But that was Peter Strzok, the disgraced FBI agent that CNN still loves to have on, right? And not CNN. What's his face's? The other Cuomo, the spare, his little whatever that is, the news name. I don't even know what that is. But Peter Strzok, the disgraced FBI agent who looks like the elf on a shelf in a suit. He does. He was the guy, remember, I'll never forget the hearing that turned into a gif where he like fidgeted in his seat like a weirdo who was texting Lisa Page, the other FBI agent, and discussing how they wanted to stop the 2016 election, et cetera, et cetera. He's saying that it's not a big deal. You know, if Antony Blinken lied under oath, it's not a huge deal. I mean, he's facing questions because apparently, you know, he was misleading members of Congress about Hunter. It seemed like he was closer to Hunter Biden than he was Joe, than he was Dad Joe. I mean, when you go back and look at some of the emails. Now, if he did lie, then that's perjury. But see, Peter Strzok has to defend Antony Blinken testifying in 2020 that he never emailed Hunter Biden, even though he did, because then he would incriminate himself or give credence to his wrongdoing, which he denies to this day. So that's why he said there's the difference between catching someone in a criminal act and catching them in a politically problematic act. Oh, we're not doing what is. We're not doing that. And as Kane notes they threw the book at General McFlynn.
For him saying, I don't recall.
And he literally did not recall. He didn't purposefully lie. He just didn't remember. And they said, oh, well, that's just like lying. So that's what his whole thing came down to. It's D different. There's a D difference. I mean, he was, you know, Peter Strzok, he was FBI. So he's defending. This is why you can't, you know, they will always justify whatever means because it serves the end. If it's the measure of whether it is right and good isn't determined by our actual, you know, definition of what is right and our definition, you know, of morality, of expectation of ethics or what we define as good. No, their measure is whether or not it advances the end. If it serves their ultimate goal, then it is justified. Then it's good because it serves the ultimate goal. It doesn't really matter. I mean, if it violates a law, but it serves a bigger purpose. So that's inconsequential. That's wild. And he sits there and he's just so sanctimonious about it. It's still perjury. It's not just problematic. That's the wrong P. It's perjury. It's perjury. It's not politically problematic act. It's perjury. Antony Blinken perjured himself. That's the bottom line of it. I mean, there's no getting around it. Good heavens. Now, a couple of other things. I saw this morning. This is a Daily Caller piece about, of all places, Nordstrom is leaving San Francisco. They're closing up shop. They are one of the latest, but they're a huge business. They're closing both of their San Francisco locations and the off the rack, the Nordstrom rack. Wait, it's like Saks off the rack fifth. Nordstrom rack. They're closing that one too. According to the San Francisco Standard, that's about 357,000 square feet. So they're closing these stores. They're not renewing its lease obligations. And they said that the reason that they cited was a deteriorating situation. I mean, which meant, oh my gosh, the crime and vagrancy is out of control. Right. Feces and needles everywhere. as far as the eye can see. They said they're done. They're done dealing with it. So they're leaving. That's like the 20th business that's left in what, the past like year and a half, almost 2 years now, I guess.
Close the Nordstrom pipeline.
Whole Foods left. Yeah, the Nordstrom pipeline that Karine Jean-Pierre believes exists. Not the Nord Stream. No. The Nordstrom. So it's like when you order on Nordstrom, like all your stuff comes in the pipeline. Whole Foods shut down. Now think about this. This is San Francisco. What do you think? Now, normally, if I would ask this like 10 years ago or 5 years ago, your answer would be different. If I say, what do you think of, Kane, what do you think of when I say San Francisco now?
Now it's just horrific. Everything that we've seen in the
what
past.
What comes to mind? What is the image in your mind when I say San Francisco?
You mean
Francisco?
Needles, feces, lots of hills, maybe even needles and feces rolling down hills.
Okay. Now, if I were to ask you 10 years ago, then what would you think? If I would 10 years ago, if I would say, Kane, like, what comes in your mind when I say San Francisco?
I'd be like the bay, you know, the hippies. Bridge, you know, just the San Francisco treat, Rice-A-Roni, maybe.
You know, the other thing, too, I blame the old hippies there. I think there's a difference in type of hippie. By the way, we have some of our audience includes, and I'm going to say it because this is how they identify themselves, boomer hippies. Yep. But they always insist that they're the good boomer hippies, which I believe this. I believe some of the hippies are actually classical liberals like Tocqueville, and they want to be left alone. They want to organically farm, and they want to drink on pasteurized milk, and they want to do whatever they want to do. They want to weave their sandals out of hemp. That's fine. They want to live their lives and not bother nobody. Then you got these hippies that gave birth to the like neo-Puritan hippies. They're not even hippies anymore. And they want the man in every aspect of their lives. By the way, think about this for a minute. Because I don't really necessarily think this is a Gen X thing. Gen X were used to being overlooked, forgotten about. And I think it's like millennials, younger millennials, not, you know, older millennials, but younger millennials. That how do you go from being a hippie boomer? Because a lot of the millennials were from younger boomers. How do you go from like being the hippie, you know, hippie generation to raising the antithesis of that? Like you are against the man, but now you want more of the man. How does that happen? That fascinates me, actually, from a sociological perspective.
I have a take on that.
Okay, yes.
Is because, isn't it natural for you to rebel against your parents?
I guess so, to a certain extent.
So, in my mind, I think that this generation saw their parents who were rightfully against, you know, overreaching of government and things of that nature, and they've worked to be not their parents. And I think that's how it's played out.
And I think, too, I'd add to that, I think that the rebelling against your parents isn't because you're trying to be an activist or something. I think it's you're trying to find your identity. Kids trying to find their identity. They want to define themselves their own. Like, for instance, my husband and I, you know, we're retired goth kids. And my younger son likes to wear black, and has more of the aesthetic of us than my older son does. My older son thinks it's ridiculous. And he's just like, I am so not into that. Like, he's very, my younger one, when he was a lot younger, his rebellion was to basically try to be Alex P. Keaton, in both visually and he is him mentally. But he was like very suit and hat. Like, he was very, now he's more of our aesthetic, way more. But when he was younger, that was how he rebelled. He was a prep. I didn't know how to deal with that. He would come home and ask, because he would do stuff with his friends on the weekends, because they have a uniform at school, and he would be like, oh, his like friends would have like a preppy kind of shirt, and I don't know, it was like some prep brand. I don't even know where to get those clothes. I literally buy what I'm wearing right now. I got for free at my gun range, and I wear black t-shirts all the time because I buy them in bulk. In some ways, I'm like the dream shopper. I buy t-shirts in bulk in black, and when I want to dye them, when they start to fade, throw them in a top loader with dye. There, you're welcome, because I hate buying the same thing. I literally will wear the same thing over and over again because I can't stand trying to figure that stuff out. It's annoying. I hate shopping. I hate it to death. I just want to wear the same thing every day, and I'd be happy. But you guys would complain. I hear that. I hear it. You're like, why don't you wear some color? Because I can't dress myself, and I won't hire a stylist. That's why. So anyway, long story short, kids rebel. I get it. And so now he's not like that. So I guess that to your point, Kame, they decided to go and be little minions of the man because their parents were very opposite that.
Right.
Gosh, they have to be disappointed. There's certain things I just wouldn't allow, right? I just won't allow in my house. I would not have allowed, I got to say, I would not have allowed it to get that far. I'd be like, that's detrimental to your well-being. Knock it off. Like I taught my kid about taxes. Like when they would do work around the house, because I told you I didn't give allowances. And I would literally, they'd have to write the little check and they'd come to the bank of mom and I would give them after I took taxes out and they were appalled. And I'm like, that's taxes. I'm like, don't vote Democrat then. That's how I ran my, and they were like, oh, but that's how we did it.
Yeah.
Their friends' parents thought I was nuts, but you know what? Now look at them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're very responsible kids. They understand money.
You can't expect that reality from media.
Exactly. But there's certain things I just will not allow. You know, I told my kids, I'm like, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but if you vote for someone that raises my taxes, if you vote for CRT and DEI, I will take it out on you in terms of how you are supported. That will expedite how soon you are out on your ass in the real world. There are consequences to elections. That's what I've told them. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I'll know because you are horrible liars. I will know. So there's just some things I won't allow. Like if I was a boomer, I would kick the crap out of my kid if they were going to turn into like a minion for the man. If they're going to go out there, we want more government. Shut up. Oh my gosh. I would have beaten you to death in the street. No way. There's just certain things I just will not allow because I'm the parent. It's a mom-tatorship. There's no freedom in this house. This isn't a republic. I don't even acknowledge that it's a democracy. Come on. I just don't understand how the old hippies got millennials. Steve, you're the only one we like. I don't get it. How does this happen? Your parents did it right, Kane. Because your parents are boomers.
Yep.
And they didn't raise you to be a yes man for the man.
No, as a matter of fact, I never really...
What did they do different?
I never really got anything politically hammered into my head until I at least showed some understanding of it, like in my teens, right? So none of this was burdened by... Oh, unburdened by what has been.
Oh my gosh, I hate you.
I wasn't burdened by, as a kid, with... you know, outrageous emotions and lack of understanding and then trying to then fit in this
right.
political narrative. To me, it just doesn't work. Your emotions get too crazy. But when you get a little older, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
You don't want to get kids involved in politics too soon.
True. Yeah. Yeah, I can't stand that when people are like, yeah, I can't do that. I've told you guys before, we've had like groups that have wanted the kids to get involved in stuff. And especially the oldest, they're out and they're like, oh, you should have, you know, him come and get involved in this. And I'm like, You only want him because you think it's because of his, you know, he's my kid. I'm like, he doesn't pay taxes. This kid doesn't know nothing. I'm like, I mean, he does, but no, he's not ready for this. I'm not putting him out there. It's not happening. He's got to get tested. He's got to get tested more. But I just, that is a thing that absolutely fascinates me with us. And I know we were talking, I didn't mean to like totally go off into the... You know, I had all this whole other stuff, wokery, and we got to talk about, you know, gas stoves and all this other stuff. But that absolutely fascinates me. It really does. What is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen? It's already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it will pass the drug trade. Because someone can sell a bag of cocaine one time, but they can sell a child 5 to 10 times per day. On July 4th, witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. From Angel Studios, the force behind His Only Son and The Chosen, comes an extraordinary true story of courage and redemption. Experience the spirit of hope and the power of human resilience. The goal is for 2 million people to get into theaters the week of July 4th and remember the 2 million children who are trafficked every year. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom. Buying tickets in advance sends an important message. To show your support, purchase tickets for yourself or pay it forward so they can pack theaters the week of July 4th. Visit angel.com/freedom.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Well, at EPA, we've built environmental justice into our very DNA. And so, number one, we have some very concrete metrics that are attached to this $27 billion to be sure that disadvantaged communities and those who are disproportionately impacted have access to this capital.
What is environmental justice? For the trees. What is that, though, for real? Like, I'm wanting to know. But what does that mean? Like, people throw out these stupid words and they never mean what they actually intend on meaning. They never actually mean that. Hey, how about you focus like on actual justice?
Yeah.
Like the criminals that are being repeatedly let go in these like majorly run Democrat cities. I mean, that might be, you know, that might be something to consider. Just, you know, FYI, might be something. So coming up, this is what we got for you. We got to get into some wokery because the Navy, they have some new digital outrage, guys. Also, in New York, what is it? From starting in 2026, they're going to start phasing the ban in, banning gas stoves and furnaces in New York. They passed that. That's, yeah, because it never gets cold up there, and electric performs so well. Good heavens. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Second hour up next.
And to me, this is the key learning. So moving forward, I agree with you. One challenge is what you call the misinformation and confusion that still exists. We need to continue to clarify the facts that this was one cam, one influencer, one post, and not a campaign.
Oh.
And repeat this message for some time.
Work.
But as we do that...
All right, so this is the CEO, Michael Dukakis, of Anheuser-Busch, who is addressing on a phone call with investors this whole Bud Light thing. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you. Top of the second hour this Thursday. Okay, so I feel like he doesn't understand how social media campaigns work. It's a campaign. You can say that it's not, but it is, because that's the whole point of social media outreach and marketing, is that it takes everything that you would normally do with traditional media and it distills it down to one post, to one thing. That's, you know, yeah, as Kane said, that's why he's the CEO and not the marketing guy. That's the whole purpose of the social media influencers. It doesn't matter if it's one thing. That's a campaign, because it's about the way in which the influencer uses it. It doesn't matter if you just did one thing. They could still do things repeatedly. It lives on their, you know, their social media homes, and they become associated with it. And it's that earned media revenue. So, yes, it is a campaign. I mean, somebody explain to this dude how all of this works. So the story now is that Anheuser-Busch, they've completely disavowed Bud Light's sponsorship of this. And they sent this letter to retailers. They're flipping out. It's kind of rough. The sales, everything is down. All the sales are down. Bud Light's down over 26% now. Crazy. Miller Lite and Coors Light are up almost 14%. They still are just not acknowledging. They're trying to give out beer, right? They're giving away free beer. The CEO said Anheuser-Busch is providing direct and financial support to the frontline workers impacted by the boycott. They're naming delivery drivers, sales representatives, wholesalers, bar owners, and servers. Dukakis said that the brewing giant's going to triple media spending on advertising for Bud Light over the summer. They're going to try to plan a major marketing push to recover its brand. Dudes, call a sister up, okay? First off, it shouldn't be this hard. You people are stupid. These people, the Bud Light people, are stupid. This is so dumb. You got a bunch of marketing vultures there like, we'll help you. You don't need to be doing that. You just need to affirm some basic things. And then you're pretty much set. You know what Bud Light could do that would be just absolutely balls to the wall amazing? You know what they could do? Here's my ad. You have everybody coming together for, like, I don't know, pick something, like a baseball game, a summer concert, and it shows people just like entering, you know, either the stadium or the fairgrounds, wherever. And they go up and they wait in line and they get a Bud Light and they toast. And it could be everybody from like 80s pinups to like macho dudes to the Kitty Demure, the dude who's a drag queen and goes on Jesse Waters' show and then is always and completely is like, yes, this is a sex show. Kids shouldn't be at it. Female athletes like Riley Gaines, you know, male athletes. You could even have Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn. He calls himself Caitlyn. Changed his name legally, so I'll call him that. the Caitlyn Jenner in it. And then everybody kind of, but it still respects the boundaries. It doesn't erase women and it doesn't make a mockery of women by having a guy who literally just was like, there's a girlhood. If I had a chick friend who acted like him, I would send her, I would Baker act her. It's crazy. No girl acts like that. It is offensive. It is a caricature. It, as people have been saying for months now, and I think Tyrese is the first person to coin this, it's woman face. You respect the boundaries and you respect the uniqueness without erasing anybody. You do that ad, everybody toasts, boom, you're done. I think that's a good idea, right?
Absolutely.
That's a good idea. You get a Tawny Katane-like person in there, like Baywatch suit. You get like, you know, the guys who used to work out at the beach in California. Get those dudes in there. Get everybody in there. And you're still, you're acknowledging the differences and celebrating the unity. That's your ad. You're welcome. I don't know why they got to do all this. No, guys, let's make a Rube Goldberg machine out of solving this problem. It's a simple solve. It is killing my soul that they don't realize how easy this is to solve this. Oh my gosh. It is like watching a big baby sitting on the floor, not a big gay baby, but an actual big baby sitting in the floor with a shape sorter. And they've got the round piece and they're trying to get it into the square hole and it's not happening, but they will not give up and they will not look at any other opening. I can't, it's just like that. It's like watching it. It would be so easy. I don't know why they're not doing this. So they have this guy on the con. He's like, oh, it's just one. They quit making excuses. You messed up, dude. And at the end of that ad, by the way, if you had Dukeris go out there and he could just say, yeah, we poop up and then toast everybody. There you go, right there. You know what? People in America are forgiving. And people in America, one of the aspects of American culture that you don't really see anywhere else is the comeback story. Everybody loves a comeback story. They love a comeback story. Even though I think a big part of our society pretends we hate redemption, we actually don't. We like to see it. We like to see a character reverse their arc. We like to see that kind of stuff. You know, nobody's rooting for someone else's downfall. And I'm going to tell you something. This isn't, and I had a friend of mine make this point, this isn't just about conservative whatever either. I don't know what these companies don't realize. I think, you know, some of what this power is. It's not just like a conservative thing. I mean, this is Americans reacting. I mean, you had what was the video that you were sharing with me, Kane? It was Fenway Park.
Yeah.
Yesterday and, at Fenway Park.
And how? I mean, it's packed, and people are standing in line to get beer. Except for, they're not standing in line where? At the Bud Light counter. Right. And the people there at the Bud Light counter, it's like just you hear crickets. It's all you hear.
It's a Red Sox game. This is packed. And you see in the video towards the end as they walk out into towards the field and you see the entire stadium packed, yet the Bud Light line mm-hmm. completely empty. And the guy standing behind the counter is literally leaning with his arms crossed because he has nothing to do.
I mean, this is not hard, guys. It's beer. It's really hard to mess up selling beer. I mean, all you literally have to do is go, here, it's beer. And there's your ad. It's really hard to mess that up, right? They did, though, because they had this stupid marketing broad. And this is such an easy fix. Why are they making this into a big thing? Oh, my gosh, I can't complain about this enough. Now that's making me almost as mad as them having that woman face cosplayer sit here and talk about a drink that they never literally consume. Because you know they don't. I mean, come on. They don't drink no Bud Light. Come on. Be real. That's not even a thing.
Do you really believe there are so many just conservatives that drink beer that it caused this much problem with Bud Light?
Yeah, that's the other point.
That's unreal.
This is not a conservative thing. This is an American reaction to stupidity.
Yep.
That's what this is. It's not a right-wing mob. It's not any of that. These are people who are like, wow, this is really stupid. We're not doing this. And they just, I mean, you don't see sales that drop like this because it's just conservatives. People get aggravated with it. I'll never forget the Chick-fil-A thing. There were people out there who were not even Republicans, who were mad at the way that this was being presented. You know, Chick-fil-A never, you know, they never did anything. They never were mean, but the way in which they were treated actually made independents and more classical liberals go, oh, wow, okay, well, we're going to go to get a sandwich. This is ridiculous. That's what this is. Okay, so I got to hit on this too. I don't know if I have this in this section since we're talking about cultural stuff. And I have more wokery, but I really got to get into this. So where's my post? It was a tweet. I don't even think I have it on here. So, you know, yesterday we had the story about how Dee Snider had remarked on Paul Stanley's tweet where he was questioning hormone abuse and sex changes and surgeries for minor children, right? And Dee Snider had affirmed that and agreed with him. I didn't even read this Rolling Stone piece, but here's the tweet. Quote, Dee Snider's planned performance at a San Francisco Pride in June has been called off after the Twisted Sister singer voiced his support for Paul Stanley's transphobic tweet.
Transphobic?
I tweeted, oh, shut up, you boomer rag. And then I added in parentheses after, no offense to boomers like my mom. I mean, come on, guys, that's a joke. Let's not like be like totally. I hate like everything literal and nothing can be funny. Seriously, like how, Gen X is the butt of every joke. Stop. This has nothing to do with transphobia. We can't cut your kid's schlong off. You're transphobic. What? It's true.
I know.
When you voice concern that maybe, just maybe, you might give a kid a serious health condition later on down the road because you're jacking them full of hormones and you have zero idea, nor are there any studies at all whatsoever showing the long-term effects of this. And you're calling people who are voicing concern transphobic. Everything has lost all meaning. You're womanphobic then. If you disagree with me, you're womanphobic. You're half white, half Hispanic phobic. If you disagree with Kane, you're Puerto Rican phobic. If you disagree with Juan, you're millennial phobic if you disagree with Steve. See, we can do this all day. You know what I mean? Like, we can totally do this all day long.
All you phobes.
All you phobes. Daily phobes. We should have that. That should be a segment. I'm mentally marking this. Phobe is a funny word. So, first off, I hate Rolling Stone with a burning passion of 1,000 suns. And I'm not even going to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees because I will lose it and destroy this studio. So we're going to just tiptoe past that bomb. But them making a big deal out of this, Dee Snider, making a big deal out of Dee Snider. Dee Snider is the biggest A double snake hole that you can ever imagine. And he doesn't care. He literally just doesn't care. I don't even agree with him on everything. And I thought he was a jackwagon over the vaccine stuff. But, you know, whatever. Live and let live. But this and Rolling Stone, like, he's transphobic. You're Dee Snider phobic. How about that?
Yeah.
This isn't about being. Do people understand what phobia is? Do they have dictionaries at Rolling Stone?
Fear.
No one's afraid. They're concerned. You're telling me that you have no issue. First off, it's established. There's no long-term study about the detrimental effects of hormone abuse. Right. Like, I'll tell you this, as a woman, when I get older, at some point, I'm going to be going through menopause as a woman. Women do that. As we age, we do that. I am absolutely terrified of that prospect because we grow up hearing all these stories of our moms having to do all this hormone stuff and all the problems that it caused with these women. I can't even imagine what that is like with kids when you're pumping them full of unnecessary hormones. And you have no idea how it's going to affect them later on in life. The only thing that we have to go on are like the women who have gone through menopause and they've been dealing with this. And they have like issues because of, you know, hormone stuff, etc. Oh, my gosh. It is terrifying to think what that's going to do in children who are like 8 or 9 years old. And if you say that you're not concerned about this, you're a monster. You are an absolute rat bastard monster. To say that you're not concerned about this, the hell is wrong with you? It is terrible. That is child abuse. That is not informed consent. And to express concern over that, sorry that we care about kids more than you do, apparently.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, an anthropologist had her account suspended. She's an anthropology professor because she had a photo holding a skull of some sort of like historical significance in a tweet explaining it. And it was literally classified as, quote, graphic violence or adult content and locked.
What?
So they're trying to get Elon Musk. That is so, that I hope that was a mistake, but it's one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. Like, come on. This is why you can't have algorithms do everything for you. So dumb. This is fascinating. An Iowa woman got 1 year in jail plus probation for doing exactly what Hunter Biden has done. Lied on a 4473. A 27-year-old woman from Iowa was sentenced last week to serve 1 year and a day in federal prison. She said she pled guilty to making a false statement during the purchase of several firearms. She lied about her drug use on her 4473. Lied about it. Uh-huh, just like that.
Because you voted in 2020 and we now have a Department of Justice that actually believes in the pursuit of justice.
Really? Really, though? Ask the parents about that, that y'all were spying on because they were raising concerns, legitimate ones, at school board meetings. Ask those parents about that. Ooh, how about Sam Brinton, that bald dude who was stealing all them ladies' clothes out of the suitcases at the airport? And then he was running around and ladies, he stole this woman's original designs and all of her jewelry. And he got a plea. They pled him down to a misdemeanor. Oh, but Sidron, tell us about justice. Okay. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You're a lovable curmudgeon. Man, that was at Al Sharpton, a.k.a. Mac Daddy Velour Tracksuit. His NAN event, National Action Network. NAN. You really honestly believe, you know, we're actually about justice. You mean, wait, the Justice Department that used campaign materials to spy on American civilians because you didn't like their political affiliations in the lead up of a general election. And so you literally wiretapped them and you got a surveillance warrant on them based on falsified materials that weren't even thoroughly vetted either by the DOJ, unverified by the FBI, and definitely didn't go through the process with the FISA court. Really? Really? Nobody thinks so. We don't believe you. All right, so I want to make you aware of a narrative that's being developed, and they're going to use it during the general. They're trying to use it during the primary, but they're going to use this against any and all Republicans in the general election. And I have a piece coming about it now, or not now, but later today. So let me pull this up. This is the Politico piece. But I want to go back to the last election, and was it Michigan or Wisconsin that who was it? And then the soundbite that we had from Ronna McDaniel, because there was, I think it was Michigan, it was the election of Michigan, and there were some losses from the Republican side, and Ronna McDaniel had, and then we had the soundbite of Ronna McDaniel saying that, oh, well, you know, abortion, people have to get their messaging right on abortion and all that stuff. And that and was kind of sort of not addressing the real issue of the problem. Remember, we talked about that. And that was right at the time that the Florida State Legislature had passed the 6-week abortion ban, and it was going up through Florida Senate. And then DeSantis signed it today, which brings me to this Politico piece. Because Democrats have been trying to use the issue of abortion against any and all Republicans. And this Politico piece, if you've read or checked out at all any of the, you know, particulars of it, it's the 6-week ban. And the headline at Politico is this, quote, DeSantis could be walking into a general election trap on abortion. Democrats prepared to pounce after Florida governor backed a 6-week abortion ban. Now, this was pretty much the same thing that they were saying after the election, right? After the midterm. This was like the same thing that they were saying after that, especially like in states like Michigan and even Wisconsin, really. They were saying that Republicans, oh, they were over their skis because of the Roe v. Wade. They were over their skis on this. Remember, and there were some losses attributed to that. This is Democrats trying to use this as a cudgel to control Republicans, and you've got to ignore this. However, there's a way that you got to play this stuff. And I was looking at this piece, this Politico piece. Pull this up here. It says they were talking about DeSantis, but they hit a bunch of basically Republicans in the past and past elections in this piece. They were saying they quote this guy from NARAL. They said Florida joins 12 other states, Georgia, Iowa, Kentucky, and Louisiana, that have approved bans on abortions after 6 weeks. And they said that Democrats' confidence is rooted in both public polling. Now, the stuff that's being cited is a little ridiculous. They said that it demonstrates a little bipartisan appetite, is what they were talking about. And this piece on this, you also have, I see it bubbling up everywhere now. It's over at Media. It's the LA Times, Orlando Sentinel, Tampa Bay, Wall Street Journal, Associated Press. They're all talking about, oh, this could be a trap. Republicans having this position is going to be a trap for them going in the general. Here's the thing to consider with the discussion on life, because I think that we are all, you know, all of you out there, I think we're, you know, pretty similarly minded on this issue. You want to save lives. The choice is before conception, which is why I never understood why Democrats killed twice having birth control over the counter. The last time was, 18 months ago, almost 2 years ago, that Republicans were pushing it and Democrats killed it. Over-the-counter birth control. No, we got to control that. I will never, and no, they did. There, I will physically fight you on this. You can go to thomas.loc. You can see all of the history on all these failed pushes to get this out. They would not deal with it. They did not want it. So here's the thing. Primaries and generals are two different animals. And some of the biggest mistakes that Republicans make is running a general like a primary and running a primary like a general. They also fail to take into account all of the different, for the lack of a better way to put it, flavors of tone, state by state. You know, a message on life will work one way in states like Texas or Florida. But in Wisconsin, you actually may end up getting more Democrat voters, depending on if you use the same message. Everyone is about saving lives. But you also have to be a strategist about how you want to do that. And there are some on the right who were allies, actually, and we have the exact same end. But some people are a little off on the means. And this is what I mean. I've had discussions with, oh, gosh, some very dear friends of mine. And they say things like, no compromise at all whatsoever. It has to be a total full-on out ban. And I understand what they're saying. But in the reality of our fallen world, what they're demanding and message as policy is not going to happen. You have to convince the people of this. And you're not going to do it by just having an immediate, oh, it's a total full-on ban right away. And what aggravates me is that some of my dear friends turn around and say, well, because you view it that way, you're compromising on life, therefore you're not pro-life. Well, that's false, because it's a difference in strategy. What do you think is going to save more lives? If the discussion is truly about saving lives, do you think that you are going to bring more people on board with a message like, We're going to ban everything, no exceptions, and then that's what we're doing going forward with abortion? Look, I get you, but do you think that you're going to win people like that in Wisconsin, Ohio, dare I say, like Nevada, with that message? Or, and hear me out, if you just started step by step incrementally, and you come out and say, oh, let's do, you know, an X-week abortion ban or a 6-week abortion ban. You know, I think it is the, what was it? Was it the 15-week that they did polling on? And what they discovered is that the majority of Americans actually do like a ban after 15 weeks. I have receipts here from Forbes, Wall Street Journal, Pew. I mean, it vastly outweighs opposition. Even New York Times had to acknowledge it, right? So if you walk up into some of these states like Nevada and you just start incrementally, because Democrats are pushing taxpayer-funded abortion up until birth. And if you don't think I'm accurate on that, then I would direct your attention to the bill that was proposed before midterm elections that had, like, I don't know, 20-something Democrat sponsors, co-sponsors. And it was literally the bill. It was called, what, the Women's Protection Act, I think, which was about anything but. It was literally a bill that legalized abortion up until birth and redirected federal funds to facilitate it. I'm not making this up. I've read the text. I linked it for my subscribers so that they didn't have to take my word for it. They could literally go to thomas.loc, which is, if you want to look up any bill, you can go there and look it up. And you can read exactly what's going on in what committee and everything. That's what they did. And that had a major support in the Democrat Party. But it was literally to the opposite of what the majority of Americans want. So again, do you think you're going to get more people by saying total ban, let's go full hog? Or if you start where they are and then incrementally work. Now, in some states, you can do 6 as opposed to 15. There are some states that are more conservative, more predisposed towards protecting life. And so they're going to totally be fine with a 6-week. Florida is an example. The 12 states that have passed this are examples. Because these lawmakers, this is one of the things that DeSantis campaigned on, and he grew the conservative percentage in Florida state legislature. Same thing with these other states that also saw re-election bids. So they can do that, but in other states, you can't. But you have to start where the general population is and then work from there. That's not losing anything. It is not compromising anything. It is strategizing. And who do you think is going to save more lives? Because I guarantee you, you go into states like Wisconsin or you go into states like Nevada and you start telling people we're going to have a full on. You start using language that would work in Texas and you go into a Michigan and say it, you're going to get more Democrat voters. If you want more Democrat voters, that's how you get them. This is about moving the ball down the field. And we have to be strategic. That's what this is about. And what all these stories are that are bubbling up, they're trying to scare Republicans off of this. The biggest fear Democrats have is that Republicans realize this and start using this strategically. Start going into these states. Again, 15-week, the majority of Americans greatly outweighs opposition on that. Their biggest fear is that Republicans go into these states, start where the majority of people are, and then start hitting, do you really want to pay for someone else to use this as birth control? Do you want your taxes going towards that? I mean, we're already in a recession and you're dealing with inflation. Do you really want to spend some, do you want to cut what you're, you know, leave out some items off your grocery store list so you can have more of your dollars go towards paying for someone to use this as a form of birth control? That's the message. Democrats are terrified of Republicans coming up with that. That's why they're pushing this fear-mongering garbage. So for some of these Republicans out there, they're not just talking about DeSantis in Florida. They're also talking about some of these other states. These are the Republicans. The Republicans criticizing this are the ones who are terrified to fight. They're terrified to fight on this. They're terrified and they don't trust themselves or their comms teams to deliver good messaging on this. Those are the people who can't lead. So, I mean, that's, and they, he campaigned on it. They got it done in Florida. You've seen it in these other 11 states. This is significant. That is how you win on this. And the Susan B. Anthony, they were very happy about it. I know LifeSite News, there are a bunch of pro-life organizations that are like, that is the way. That is the way forward. Got to be strategic.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, so we have two of them for you that are just ring-a-ding-ding. First up, the NBC affiliate here in Port Orange, WFLA. A Florida man was found hiding in a tree Tuesday of this week, 2 hours after he fled Port Orange police. 33-year-old Jonathan Kaiser was accused of speeding away from police during an attempted traffic stop. They tried to use stop sticks to damage the Nissan Maximus tires. This is in Volusia County. The aerial unit found the vehicle in a backyard where Kaiser and his other passenger, Caitlin McCartney, 31, abandoned it. McCartney was arrested nearby. She was charged with resisting without violence, possession of paraphernalia, probation violation. They had to call the canine unit to search the area for Kaiser. They found him hiding 2 hours later up an oak tree, a big old oak tree. So they have body camera footage. They were telling him, calm down, get out of the tree, don't run away, or they're going to send the canine after him. So he moved down towards the end of the branch, appearing to run away in the tree, as one officer described it on the radio. He said, quote, he's literally in a tree right now trying to climb it like Tarzan. And Kaiser was caught on camera, and this is just the chef's kiss, failing to swing from one branch to the other. He dropped to the ground trying to swing to the other branch and then fell to the ground, tried to run away from officers, but canine Draco subdued him along with the handler. He was taken to Volusia County Jail where he was charged with fleeing or attempting to elude. And the amazing thing is that it's on video. God bless technology. It is on video. He hung from the branch for a second, realized he wasn't going to make it, couldn't keep hold of the branch. I mean, it is just chef's kiss. Shirtless, swinging in the air, and then he fell. I'm surprised he didn't break his bones. And then, of course, we got this guy in Naples. A drunk man caused total chaos after he broke into the Naples Police Department. Total chaos. Joseph Moulton, 36 years old, jumped the fence of the south parking lot, went inside an unlocked patrol cruiser. He sat for a few minutes until he saw people come outside. Then he hid in the bushes and took action. According to the police report, he used the nozzle of a water hose, shoved it underneath the door before turning the water on, causing an inch of flood damage. He went to the men's locker room, took a shower, helped himself to clothing. And then he took a uniform, shirt, pants, cap, bulletproof vest worth $900. Then he defecated on the women's bathroom floor and dumped a police radio in the toilet. It wasn't until he got to the 7-Eleven outside that they were suspicious. And they thought he was under the influence as well. They called Naples police and he was arrested.
And he's one of these guys who, you know, he's like Clarence Thomas, black Republican who believes in pulling yourself by your bootstraps rather than, to me, understanding the systemic racism that African Americans face in this country and other minorities. He doesn't get it, neither does Clarence.
Right.
And that's why they're Republicans.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Because no one understands what it means to be a black man than this nasally voiced white woman who liked to dress in blackface often. Except she was like really bad at it. I don't understand what in the sofa cushion fabric that she is wearing in that one shot. Juan's got it for the simulcast. Whew. That's how we're. Yeah, we're starting. We choose violence. We are starting that with our second hour. Whew. That's Joy Behar. She knows better than this white woman. This annoying white woman knows better than any black man what it's like to be black in America. She knows it so well. She was in blackface. She abused bronzer before there was bronzer to abuse. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash, you are, mean as all Hades curmudgeon today. Top of the second hour. I think it's just because there's an overload of stupidity. Just overloaded. We're going to get into it. But top of the second hour this Tuesday. Good to be with you. You can listen to the nationally syndicated radio show across the country. You can stream the radio show. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. So they're upset. They're still complaining because there's a black conservative on the Supreme Court. They can't get over it. They've been upset over Clarence Thomas still. They're still mad over Clarence Thomas. They've been mad over Clarence Thomas since my mom was watching Designing Women like back in the late 80s. I mean, how long can these bees stay mad? I'm just wondering. Like, how long can you stay mad? Jiminy Christmas. They're very upset. She and they were reacting to the whole Tim Scott thing. Oh, they don't know what it's like, excuse me, to be black in America, Joy Behar says. I mean, you know, I will say, she probably does have an insight on how difficult it has been for, you know, black Americans in this country, considering that she was probably one of the ones who was there. I mean, she is kind of clannish, so I guess she does have that perspective from that side, you know, so she kind of has it because she knows what it's like to make someone's life a living hell. So she probably does get a little bit of how difficult it was for black Americans, you know, her being a racist white Democrat. Dana, you're full of invectives today. Yes, I am, because I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired of these sorry ass people. Golly, I'm going to get to it already because I can't. I'm about to go off. I'm going to try to be real nice about it. Okay, so one of the bands that I've always liked was Tool. And I have been able to look over Maynard James Keenan's endless verbal menstruations about how he doesn't like Jesus for years, right? Because I thought he was kind of a libertarian, right? I thought he was at least sort of sensible. I'm not like the left, where I have to go and check in a weird Portlandia episode and deem whether or not I can listen to this, eat this, read this, whatever, unless do your politics match mine? I make fun of wokery when they call cultural appreciation appropriation, right? Where I mean, people told me before I've been on television, why are you wearing gold hoops? You know, only African women can wear gold hoops. I'm like, are you Sumerian? Because they invented it. So stop it. Anyway. So I don't get into that, right? So I've been able to overlook, and as I call them, the verbal menstruations of one Maynard James Keenan talking endlessly about, oh, here's my other song about not liking Jesus. I'm just mad about Jesus. He's not mad about me. And you get my idea. Anyway, there are some of these musicians that are like this. And I appreciate the musicality, but I kind of have to roll my eyes at the lyrics. You know, I've just... So anyway, there are a lot of people that are quite upset over... Still, they're upset because we live in the stupidest age in human history. Some of the laws that they've passed in Florida, one particularly about the drag queen stuff. And so apparently Tool played Daytona last night before last. And Maynard James Keenan showed up looking like Mika Brzezinski. Did you see it?
I did.
I'm not wrong, right?
No.
Totally not wrong. Anyway, he showed up in drag because he wanted to basically, he was protesting against the anti-drag law. Now, let's just stop right there. Let's just stop for one moment, okay? Suggesting that Florida's law is anti-drag is like saying that strip clubs that are 21 and over, because in Florida you have to be over 21 to get in a strip club. That's like saying that that's anti-stripper because there's an age restriction. Are there strip clubs in Florida? Is Florida anti-stripper?
No.
But they do have an age restriction, correct?
True.
Does the age restriction make Florida anti-stripper?
Nope.
No. Does Florida have drag queens?
Yes.
Does Florida have age restrictions on adult-themed shows, i.e. strippers and drag?
Yes.
So does that make them, much like the stripping thing, does it make them anti-drag?
No.
So the age restriction has nothing with the anti.
That's correct.
These are just stupid people who are going out and saying stupid things because we live in the dumbest era of mankind. I thought he was smart. Right? Never meet your heroes. I never met him, but you know what I mean. We live in an absolute idiocracy. That's literally all this is. I mean, that's literally all this is. it's an age restriction. It's like saying, oh, Florida's anti-liquor because you have to be 21 and up to buy alcohol. They're anti-alcohol. Are people saying that Florida's a prohibition state? No. Is Florida a prohibition state? No. Does Florida have an age restriction on purchasing alcohol? Yes. Okay. It's interesting how they don't say that they're an anti-gun state, considering that under Rick Scott and under weaker Republicans before Ron DeSantis and the conservative New Revolution in Florida, they were trying to pass age restrictions on purchasing firearms in Florida. It's interesting how that age restriction didn't turn, according to the left, Florida into an anti-gun state. But oh my heavens, if you require an age restriction to go and see an adult themed sexual performance of a man dressed as a woman, then somehow that means it's anti-drag. I mean, if you're going to disagree with something, then disagree with it. Don't be a moron. Don't be stupid like Maynard James Keenan. I'm just so tired of this. I mean, it's an absolute, I mean, we live in an absolute idiocracy. And I'm disappointed because I thought that he was at least somewhat, I don't expect people to share my beliefs, but I expect you not to be barely sentient. You know what I mean? I expect you to be somewhat intelligent. I expect you to approach the issue with more than one brain cell. But unfortunately, I guess I'm asking too much in this era of stupidity, this idiocracy in which we find ourselves. Golly, maybe he can go back and write another song about how he's so mad at Jesus. Oh, because that's never been done before. It's so original and groundbreaking. I'm just done. Done with it all. Speaking of which, now, I've got some media for you. This chick, what's her face? Let me pull this up. Tara Palmieri, is that her name? I mean, I'm going to forget it in 5 seconds, so it's not really important to me that I have the pronunciation correctly because I just don't care. Anyway, this there was this piece that ran yesterday. Let me pull this up. Where this reporter was so upset. She went after, they wrote this like whole thing on DeSantis. Who does she write for? Oh, some stupid website. She said that it was her first personal observation. DeSantis's critics call him a pepper togger. She was saying that he's not ready. Oh, I know, Steve, what media outlet she's from. I just think it's stupid and not worthy of a mention. She was trying to argue that because Ron DeSantis wouldn't engage with her and answer her stupid questions, that it means that he's somehow not ready for press, or he's not ready for primetime, or he's bad with media or not prepared with media. Because see, they believe that they're super special. And if you don't lavish attention on them, you know, their mommies and daddies and mommies and mommies and daddies and daddies told them that they were super special, Kane, and that if you don't affirm the specialty of them, then you're unprepared for media. It's very simple. So she ran. I don't know what shoes she was wearing. A quick aside. Can we stop with the platforms? You look like Clydesdales. It doesn't make your ankles slimmer. It doesn't make your legs look longer. It makes you look like a stumpy death dwarf who's stomping around in Clydesdale hooves. That's what it looks like. You look like a Clydesdale. You sound like a Clydesdale. And it's incredibly annoying when you're trying to ask a stupid question of a reporter and all we can hear are your heavy as hell Clydesdale feet clomp, clomp, clomping down the stairs. So, case in point, Tara Palmieri, whatever. She finds Ron DeSantis at some event and she follows him down the stairs. And she was like, I was so nice and I was asking him questions. He ignored them. He seemed almost to be running away from me. Can we play the audio of the questions? The hard hitting investigative news questions she was asking this one, Tara Palmieri, the surreptitiously recorded audio. Listen to this.
Governor DeSantis, you can talk to me. I'm also a person and who represents the press. I'm also Italian American like you. if that makes any difference to you at all. Governor
DeSantis,
why are you against
Disney's
burger? Which one is your favorite one?
Stop clapping around. Golly. I mean, that's why, ladies, you don't wear platforms. It's not exact. I'm almost more offended by the footwear than I am the question.
You sound like you're 10 pounds.
And it makes women, it makes your legs look dumpy. You look like you have Gimli legs when you wear platforms. Stop it. You look like damn horses. Stop it. Anyway, to my point, did you hear the question she was asking? What's your favorite Disney character?
Journalism.
What problem do you have with Disney? I'm a Italian American like you. Journalisming. Hmm. Those are bad questions, and you should feel bad for asking them because they're dumb. You know, if I were him, I would have thought, like, what in the centaur hell is chasing me down the stairs? What is this? That's what it sounded like. Sarah Palmieri going down the stairs. I would have been like, what in the world? There's a damn centaur chasing us. We are in some sort of mythological hell. Get to the SUV. Although he didn't flee. He was walking and talking with someone. But she was like, I'm special. Answer my questions because I'm special. I'm special. Answer them. Those are dumb questions. He is way more disciplined than I do. Because I would have turned around and I would have immediately commented on her footwear. And then I would have torn her apart with her question. And that wouldn't have been fun for anyone. I'm just saying. But what gets me is this same press is absolutely silent about Biden's complete non-existent relationship with the media. But now they're flipping out because DeSantis ignored this dumb questioning from this lefty reporter clomping like a Clydesdale after him down the stairs, screeching about, what Disney character do you like? I would have turned around and said Bob Iger and just to see what the reaction would be, but you know. Anyway, that's the thing, though. They believe that they're special. And if you don't treat them like that, then they're like, oh, well, you didn't answer a super important question. It's like, guess you're not right for media. Gosh. Man. Anyway, we have more to come as we get moving. Speaking of which, because Biden claimed his son, the one that he lost, that he passed away from this brain disease, that he died in Iraq to a bunch of Marines. But I wonder what Disney character he likes.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I apologize to you guys. I wouldn't shut up last segment. It's my fault. All my fault. All right. So first up, a couple of things here. Oscar Mayer has renamed their truck. It's no longer the Wienermobile. It's no longer the Oscar Mayer Wiener. It's the Oscar Mayer Frank. I have no idea why. I don't think it has anything to do with wokery, though. Because originally, it was called Frank. It was literally called Frank Whistles. That's really literally what it was called initially. And then it was referred to as the Frank Mobile. So I think they're just going back historically. And also, chroming is kids sniffing inhalants. They need to stop. It's killing a lot of kids, New York Post. Stay with us.
So this week is Lesbian Visibility Week, and as the first openly queer person to hold the position of press secretary for the president of the United States, I see every day how important visibility and representation are.
Wait a minute, I see her. Can I? Okay, hold on. I see her, though. She's not invisible.
No, but it's Visibility Week.
It doesn't make no sense. Wait a minute. So first off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here, bottom of this third hour. That's Karine Jean-Pierre just a little bit ago. I do like the pink on pink, and I hate color. Like, I hate, like, super colorful clothes. But I do like that contrast. But I see her. She's a liar because they are visible. She's not invisible. I see her. I see. Are the other chicks on stage lesbians too?
Yes.
So we see them.
Well, it is Visibility Week.
So they're only visible this week?
Apparently.
Is it like Mercury in retrograde or something like that? The stars aligned and all of these like invisible lesbians are now visible. And they're celebrating the fact that they can be seen. I don't understand what that means. This is why I hate this stupid stuff. I want to take everything literally. By the way, the new season of Beavis and Butthead, I started watching that, so I'm in that very literal mood right now. I binged, like, I don't know, four episodes yesterday. So, apologies. Still in that mood. But you can see her, right, Kane? I'm not wrong on this. Look at it. Tell me if you see a woman in a pink suit. At the microphones.
I do, actually.
You can see her.
I do. I see the necklace, too.
I'm just, okay, hear me out. Hear me out for a minute. I got a really good idea. It's probably one of my better ideas.
Yeah.
So Okay, so, you know, we got, like, the stuff happening in Sudan, and all these people are evacuating their embassies and stuff, and we got, you know, Russia getting froggy with Ukraine, and you got China being all froggy. I mean, we have, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, and I only was made aware of this today by Karine Jean-Pierre, we have an asset here. We could have an entire platoon of invisible lesbians that they could just, like, take out Xi Jinping. Why are we not doing this? Is that not a brilliant idea? I want to high-five myself. Oh, gosh, dang, yes, me. High-fiving all the angels. I mean, it right? Why are we not using them in war games? Why are we not using them to take out people we don't like? I mean, damn. Hear me out. I'm just saying, because that one chick on stage with her, and we're assuming, because it's, even though the T is trying to take off the L's of the alphabet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, she could break some necks. Right? Just saying. Come on. So if they're only visible this week, the next week, we start the militant lesbian platoon and we send them out to take out enemies. That could be Quentin Tarantino's final film, just to cap his career. There you go. Do it in a Death Proof style, which is one of my favorite movies, by the way. It's one of my top three favorite movies of all time. I love it. And I love the pro-gun messaging, too. Mm-hmm. It's not for everyone, but I love it. Tarantino is one of my favorites. So I'm just saying, invisible lesbian platoon to go out and take out our enemies. Problem solved. Then, you know, the problem then becomes you have to keep the other countries from having their own invisible lesbian platoons. But I don't think you got to worry about it with countries like Saudi Arabia or Qatar or, you know, UAE. You don't have to worry about it with those because they got, you know, Iran. I don't think they're going to allow. I mean, you know, no, it's not going to happen. I'm just saying. So there we go right there. Problem solved. I just solved all the world problems right there.
Yeah.
Only because we didn't know that lesbians were invisible, except for this one week.
Right.
Look at that. Gosh, we really ought to be in a presidential cabinet, shouldn't we?
Sure.
Like, we just give us the military stuff to handle.
Great
ideas. I mean, these are solid ideas. Mm-hmm. So that's Karine Jean-Pierre. They had the staff from the two shows. Okay, one other quick question. I'm going to move on. Is this part of this show? Because it's the L word and Generation Q. A Showtime series is this like regular promo stuff? So first it was Ted Lasso to kick off the Ted Lasso season. And is this now what networks are doing, is having their cast go up and pretend that they're going to be try to weave in the launch of their series or new season with some kind of issue and do that as a promo because you're there in front of all the press? Is that a new thing now? Is that the thing to do now? This is like the third time I've seen this. Just wondering. It seems kind of cheap, doesn't it? It seems cheap. Oh. Yeah, we just solved the world's problems all right there. I feel proud of us. All right, a couple of other things. Our friend Larry says Oliver Stone could do it. Lesbian platoon.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Oliver Stone doing it. Okay, so, all right, give me a second. It'd be very different, like a Tarantino versus an Oliver Stone. Two very different approaches. I tend to lean towards the Tarantino, but, you know, I mean, very. Just saying. All right. So the other. We have to make fun of it. Can we talk about the dinkies, the dinks? How did I put this in my rundown? Because I saw this headline and I was just making fun of it last night. I had a paragraph that I removed because I thought I was being unnecessarily mean, but now I wonder if I should keep it in. So the dinks, that's what they call them. The dinky dinks meet the next generation of people to be abandoned in nursing homes. That's who they are. Dual income, no kids. Now, I learned this from Bar Rescue because John Taffer was like yelling at this dude who owned this bar in this bougie neighborhood, and he's like, you have, and John Taffer, as always, he's been on the show before, John, And he was like, this is the demo you got. This is the age. You got a bunch of dinks here. And I'm like, what is a dink? And then he stopped and explained it because he just realized nobody else knew. So they're younger couples who don't have babies and they go on luxury vacations and expensive date nights. And I don't know why this headline says splurges at Costco. Okay. Do you splurge at Costco? I mean, does anyone go to Costco to get to splurge? I mean, you're usually getting mass quantities of something that you need, right? Just saying. Okay. But they call them dinks. Dual income, no kids. D-I-N-K. And they're all over TikTok, which I don't get on because it makes me want to pray for an asteroid to hit the Earth faster than it's on schedule to do. So they have, it's like dink talk. I don't even know. And these people brag about their lives. Like they're like, what we did today is dinks. Dual income, no cats. And then they talk about how they went and spent their money on shrimp and coconut at Costco. Okay. I mean, if that's, you know, what powers your boat, do it to it. And so they're all, I mean, it's, I don't know. I think that is like what the hashtag dink on has like 205 million views.
Did you see what dinkwad stands for?
Yeah, I love it. Dinkwad is dual income, no kids with a dog. I love it. I do think that they're going to grow up lonely and die alone, but it's still funny to make fun of right now. I say that because not everybody wants to be a parent, and that's fine. But I can't imagine being the age that I am now and not having a family or, you know, kids either through birth or adoption. I just can't. I just can't imagine it. It's just weird to me. Like right now we're going through a crazy tumultuous phase where we have graduations literally 6 days apart and people moving out and people moving in and people doing all, and it's nuts. And as crazy as it is and as stressful as it is, I would not trade it so I could go and quote unquote splurge at Costco and be a dinkwad. They're going to die alone. They're going to be like the people in the nursing home. It'll be like fried green tomatoes. And it'll be like, you know, Kathy Bates visiting Jessica Tandy, and Jessica Tandy's going to be the dink, except in that movie she did have a kid. But I digress. You get my point. It's just sad. I honestly wonder, because the birth rates have picked up ever so slightly. And everyone was wondering if the birth rate would explode during the lockdown. And it didn't. But or due to the lockdown. But they said they have picked up slightly, 0.9% in 21, the same amount again in 2022. And it makes me kind of think that there is somewhat of a turnaround. Although I also wonder if it's not too soon, you know, to say such a thing. Because have you seen like Tradwife and all of this stuff starting to trend on social media? Like women are of younger, you know, younger generations are rediscovering things that have been made taboo by second wave feminists, right? Like second wave feminists looked at it as weak if you gardened or if you had home cooked meals or if you wanted to stay home. I mean, I got in a huge fight with Linda Hirschman, who was this old cantankerous, crusty feminist who was saying that if you have a college degree, if you have a college degree and you choose to stay home, you're betraying your sex. And it was a very public having it out. We had it out. And there've been a couple of Republican women that I've had it out with that have said things like, oh, well, you know, Republican women staying home, it's like, or if you're staying at home mother, it's like a form of welfare. And of course, it's always made by these women who don't have kids or dinks, right? Dinkwads. But I'm starting to think that there might be a rejection of this. I do think that there might be a rejection of this. Because people are tired. It's a false freedom and it's empty. And I think that there's a reaction to that. But yeah, I can't stand the name, the dinkwads. It's true. It's the craziest thing, but I love it. I learned it off Bar Rescue. Okay, a couple of other things to discuss. We talked about the invisible lesbians, the president announcing his bid, and he also said that he would veto the budget. He'd veto any kind of debt ceiling offer because he doesn't think that Republicans are going far enough. He doesn't like the cuts. He doesn't like the accountability. He doesn't like anything like that. So that's it. If it even gets through the Senate, it would be DOA. And I don't even know if they would have enough to override that at this point, to be honest. So, you know, we shall see. We have more on the way, including what is Tucker Carlson going to do now? What does this mean for conservative news? I tend to think that anybody in that hour is going to do well. And I think that, you know, there's all speculation out there. It's a lot of it is speculation. But I do think it will be a test of like a post-Trump media consumption.
But one thing that people are concerned about out here, of course, is the rise of the CCP. And they're concerned about the security situation. One of the things they complimented us on in Florida is I'm going to be signing legislation very soon, eliminating the possibility of CCP land purchases in Florida. No farmland, no land near critical infrastructure, none.
That's good. That's another state doing it. That's awesome because it's just too weird. You have a geopolitical foe that wants to purchase land, like the CCP-backed EV factory in Michigan? They were going to go right by the fort up there where they're training the Taiwanese military. That seems a little bit too convenient. Just saying. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. I have a couple things that I'll be going out to you, not just in the rundown, but I have a kind of a hodgepodge email that'll go out later today on a few things. And some of it's very interesting reading, so you'll want to sign up for that. The debt limit package, Biden said he's going to veto it, of course. The Office of Management and Budget released a statement saying that they strongly oppose the Limit, Save, and Grow Act. They said it was a reckless attempt, here's their words, a reckless attempt to extract extreme concessions as a condition for the United States, simply paying the bills it's already incurred. That's how they put it. See, they think that to pay the bills incurred, the way they do that is not by stopping the spending, but it's by taxing you. They don't want to stop spending. So you have to pay more in taxes. Pay your bills. That's literally the message. That's what they're telling
people. That's why we see the debt ceiling conversation all the time. Democrats never put forth an actual budget. It's always CRs or something like that. And then when they put all these spending bills in place, then when it comes to the debt ceiling, then later, like, oh, we can't default. But they keep spending on the front while insisting we increase the debt limit on the back. It's crazy.
Yeah, pretty unbelievable. So that they said the president has been clear. They called it hostage taking. Hostage taking because you have to pay. They don't want to cut taxes. I think you're taking the taxpayers hostage. That's what it sounds like. I'm going to include this in your email prep. Today in stupidity came.
All right. Karine Jean-Pierre. This is
Invisible lesbian.
Yes.
Okay.
Visible this week, though.
Okay.
She says House Republicans are fighting to put fentanyl on the street and defunding the Border Patrol. Listen to this.
It's clear that the Speaker's bill breaks House Republicans' commitment to America.
In the
run-up to the 2022 election, House Republicans promised to put cops on the beat. Instead, they're fighting to put fentanyl on the street by defunding Border Patrol.
Their proposal makes
clear that only things House Republicans are committed to.
Come on.
Yeah, no, that's
stupid.
No, that's not how it works. We'll revisit that, give you the latest tomorrow, folks. That does it for us today. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Sign up for the newsletter, find us on Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe. Back with you tomorrow.